This is CliffCentral.com.
Gareth Cliff Show on CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, bright and early on a Wednesday. It's the 3rd of July, well into the second half of the year.
Resist the urge.
To say what
resist
it's cold.
The urge, yes.
Everybody's saying that. That's all people say to each other.
I heard you wince a bit there.
Yeah, I'm getting emails from people saying, oh, it's so cold. Huh?
Who has time to email about how cold it is?
No. Dear Gareth and the team, except Gordon, he's so noisy. I'd like to let you guys know about how egregiously upset I am about the current temperatures.
It's not that. It's that, you know, when people are trying to like reconnect, you met them 2 weeks ago and then they want to pursue something that came up in the meeting. So what they do is they say to you, dear Gareth, or hi Gareth, isn't it cold today? And then they go into their business afterwards.
But you need an icebreaker, and sometimes you know you've dropped a really shit one. Like, bad conversation icebreakers are a thing. And so is, like you said, like people trying to bring stuff up. Like, you run into someone you haven't seen for years.
Mm.
Like, I would have stayed in touch with you, but we obviously don't have much of a connection.
And then
do you say? Absolutely. I remember you well enough to want to say hello, but now, awkwardly, we don't have anything to talk about. Like, we should get together sometime, totally.
Gord, you don't have to do this with a business email, do you? I mean,
I don't know. You try open with some sort of conversation maker, and it's like the weather is like the lowest common denominator.
I'm okay with you just going straight into it. Like, good to see you last week. Let's move.
Mm.
Good to see you last week is more than appropriate.
Yeah, and just let's get about the.
I mean, unless the weather is doing something totally amazing.
Yeah, like
if there've been a series of cat tornadoes.
Yeah, sure.
What was it? What's that movie? Sharknado.
If there've been some sharknadoes, then Oz deserve to talk about it.
But this is not to really lament on this whole weather point, but even my car right now is confused by what's going on.
It's not
because
that
it
cold.
Gave me this black ice warning. So clearly, because of the temperature, it thinks, oh, shucks.
Well,
it is
black ice is a
horror
vibe, man.
Out there. So it gave me that this morning as I was starting it up. I was thinking, whoa, what is going on?
Black ice is a real thing, man. In Europe, it kills people. That's how original Metallica bassist Cliff Burton died. The bus fell over because of black ice.
Really?
It's a certain way that I do not.
The bus fell over?
Yeah, the bus crashed and it slid on its side and he got caught under it.
Oh.
And in a true story that is now legend, him and Kirk Hammett, we're in a dispute over who got the top bunk, and guitarist Kirk Hammett and him did a card draw. Highest card wins, and Kirk drew first and drew the ace of spades and automatically won, and so got the top bunk. And then when they were sleeping and the driver drove through a patch of black ice somewhere in Scandinavia, I think in Sweden, and the bus sort of veered off the road, fell on its side and skidded on its side for quite some time.
Mm.
And Cliff, because he was on the bottom bunk, got kind of thrown out the window while the bus was falling over. And then Mighty James Hetfield spent a long time screaming at the top of his lungs, trying to lift the bus off his dying mate before help could get there. Okay. So, but I don't know the science behind it. Maybe one of the listeners can update us.
That would traumatize.
Oh yeah, that'll bring you a couple of good metal albums. Now, we lost our contributing songwriting bass player who's a virtuoso, but we got deep-seated trauma from the deal, so that'll help compensate metal-wise. Do you guys have... We'd like to sign you, but we're not sure you have a virtuoso enough bass player or enough trauma. But apparently it's got something to do with the at a certain temperatures, the ice freezes in a certain way that makes it like very glass-like and very slick with no grip, and you slide on it easily.
Before we go down the Metallica rabbit hole with you, because you keep us busy all day.
Well, the point is more that black ice really does kill people, but it happens mostly in Europe, where like some shit like snow lands on a road and it melts because the road is warm, but everything else is hot.
As I was saying, before we go down that rabbit hole.
Yes, weather tech.
Jesus. Try to keep a little bit of focus here, Gordo.
Weather.
No, not
I'm the only one still focused on the original topic of weather.
Oh, look, it's you.
No, that's not. I don't want to go. You're not even listening to
me. I am.
All right, try to focus. For like an hour and a half, 2 hours, I'll be really blown away.
Focused.
So, I was telling Sia yesterday and Leanne how I'm watching this show called The Planets, which is just a mind blower. And I know you're into astronomy
as well,
right?
Yeah, I'm a Leo after all.
Not astrology, you stupid tit. You're such a tit.
Where are you watching the planets? Is it on Netflix?
Well, it was, no, it was on, it was, I caught one of the episodes on DSTV and then I watched the rest of them on pay TV, on demand.
You said it was on BBC originally.
Yeah, BBC Two. And it's hosted by this guy called Professor Brian Cox. And I'm not
gonna he's the best.
He's so good. So I'm not going to go down that whole long story that I went down yesterday, but I got talking to my sister's boyfriend last night because we all went out for supper. And he's obviously read a lot about this stuff because he's a pilot. So pilots, you know, there's a connection there. They used to use the stars to navigate. You know,
I just find most of them are unreliable, the stars, when you try and help them, get them to help you navigate. Sorry.
Gordon, what experience?
Okay, so you got to make a left like here, I think.
You're talking about like sure.
Yeah, I get a Kardashian to navigate. What are you doing? I'm using the stars to navigate.
Sure is an unreliable
Someone's
gonna star.
Someone's going to get stuck with Patricia Lewis. I've got the old navigation system. It still works. And it's kind of cool in its own vintage way. But
one really needs to have patience with Gordon's puns.
As it gets its nails that often.
Oh my God. Anyway, I was obsessed with this show and I managed to finish it last night. And again, it just puts everything into perspective, how tiny we are.
Dude, I'm literally going to like rush out and get that, download it or stream it or you whatever will. As soon as I can, because I fucking love space and I love the planets and I read about that shit all the time. And it is like such a goal of mine in terms of what I'd like to see humanity achieve. And like yeah, in terms of how long I'd like to live, I would absolutely...
What do you say to people who tell, and there are a lot of these people who say, what are we doing exploring in space? It's a waste of time. We need to focus on fixing the Earth.
Are you sure you want me to answer this? Because I have a rant. I have a pocket
this
rant
is what,
for this.
Go, pocket
this
rant.
Is what we'll okay, start so people you are like,
release
people
the
are
Kraken!
Like, first of all, people are like, they should fix the Earth before they fix the space. And this person is busy eating like a fucking garbage processed piece of food out of a piece of non-recyclable plastic while pissing sulfuric chloride into a dolphin's mouth. And then they should focus. It's like, first, there's no fucking they. There's no one organization that's got all the money that goes, right, for the sake of things for humanity, we've got a budget this year of $100 billion. Let's spend it all on fixing the Notre Dame Cathedral and not help the starving people in Africa. It's like, have you seen UNICEF? UNICEF have got so much more money than was put into fixing the cathedral. They are doing both, asshole. The planet can have two problems at a time. We need space travel for the good of mankind. So much was invented when we went to the moon that the moon missions paid for themselves. Velcro, microwaves, all kinds of shit that were perfected for home use because of the moon travel and made money for the economy.
You
so it's like,
go.
First of all, space travel inspires science and causes scientific uptake in academia. Measurable. Anytime, the more active NASA is in space, the more people start studying science, which pushes the world forward. But there's not one oak going, what shall we spend the Earth money on today? I know, let's go to Mars and fuck the starving children. Elon Musk himself wants to go to Mars. That's his mission. He's working hard at it. He's got the money. Uh-huh. And like the feed the starving walruses people are feeding starving walruses. It's not a fucking decision that needs to be made. We pioneer a lot as humans. Oh. Right. The whole planet this week is focused on Ebola. Once that's fixed, we'll go to mourning the people shot in Hungarian mosque.
But you know what people are. They're douchebags.
Fuck, people irritate me.
There's a great trailer that when I get back from London next week, I'm going to download this whole series. Well, if it's even on yet.
What is it?
But you know, we've got our friends at the BBC here, and they always bring us Planet 2 and Planet Earth 1.
We can
1
make some calls.
So there's this new David Attenborough show, which is called, it's about the seven continents.
Mm.
The trailer had me in tears. It's so beautiful.
Really? Oh.
That is, I mean, that hasn't happened to me. I sat there watching this trailer, which is filmed so beautifully, you know, and they really do. They spend,
yeah.
We've spoken to the directors of some of these shows. They spend years,
yeah, years, or
trying to get
stuff.
Like 10 minutes of footage.
They put a camera like in a box and they leave it where the foxes are and they let it film for like 2 years to find that moment where like, the mother fox
just
licks,
the patience
the
that
baby
goes
awake.
Into this.
Gord, they've got birds that turn upside down in the sky and whales that come completely out of the sea and animals that are, you know, fighting in midair and just these beautiful, beautiful shots and like raindrops falling directly into the beak of some bird that's sitting underneath it. It's just...
The bird tweeting a tweet that actually means fuck.
And it's and no.
What's
so beautiful about it is they've just put together this trailer.
It's called Seven Worlds, One Planet.
Oh my God, what a beautiful.
And yet it's all like, I mean, with tectonic shifts and tears and breaks and whatever. Now obviously there are areas where the continents are separate, but if you were to empty the water out of the earth, you see it's still more or less one continent with a few cracks and tears.
No, of course,
here
but here's the other thing they do there is they've got a song by Sia. Who, no, not you. Listen to this. This is the song they use for it. Now you imagine with David Attenborough narrating, and this song is magnificent.
She's great, eh? Oh, Sia.
Wow.
Sia's so voice. Great. Sia's awesome.
We're talking about the singer, all right?
First got into her because of the featuring on that Eminem stuff, and she's so good. Of the female pop singers, she's one of the ones I like.
Just listen to this. I pour my heart out to the blackest sky. Oh, spirit, can you hear our souls cry? Can you hear my man, it's so good.
She's a shill for big climate change.
But it's a combination of the song and David Attenborough and this
show the visuals.
This spectacular, heartbreaking footage and the fact that you know that really we are just the shittiest stewards for what's going on in nature. I'm not one of those people who says, that planet, other planet. In fact, I'm one of those people who hates those people who say, the planet, the planet. Because I think they're a bunch of alarmists.
And hypocrites.
And they're not really interested in the planet. They care about themselves.
Their behaviors is like, it's not like they're hand-spinning their own
Rottweiler
wool jackets that are made of renewable Rottweiler fur.
Right, and I have to yet meet someone who's a true environmentalist in that they don't use any natural product and you know, like they're a purist. And if I met someone like that, I wouldn't have a good argument against them, because if they're living that life, and it's hard, that sacrifice in every way, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, basically that's what the Amish have done.
Yeah.
Like the Amish, it's not like the Amish don't know about technology. They decided that at a certain point, which they went back and looked at,
it was doing too much more damage.
It was at a point where it was like at its best and it was at its most helpful. And so like the wagon they think's helpful, the oxen driven plow is helpful, candles are helpful.
Jebediah, bring the wagon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they looked at it and they went, okay, like we need to figure the point at which technology was helping humankind improve and at what point it started to contribute towards our decay. And they just like abandoned all that shit.
So if an Amish person had to get up on the stage at the Oscars or something and say, listen, I think it's time we started saving the earth, I'd go, you know what? I'm going to listen to you.
Yeah, this dude's carbon footprint is like
Hollywood,
tiny.
Some Hollywood pretender who makes believe for a living must get on a helicopter and fly from the Hollywood Hills to the Kodak Theater, burning up thousands of kilograms of fuel on the way so she can wear a viscose dress.
And flying first class all the time.
Exactly. Don't talk to me about
climate
change.
But you've got a Prius instead of a those people.
Yes.
Those people will typically have a Prius for missioning around town and looking environmentally conscious.
Right.
And then they'll have like a massive American Dodge SUV, which is basically like if you just chop a small skyscraper off at the roots, lay it on its side, and put wheels on it.
It's the modern version of the Hummer nowadays.
But that's I like a good old traditional Hummer myself.
Oh, let's not go down that road.
The kids are innovative these days.
That's actually such an interesting point to look at, wondering where the tipping point was with technology, where it started doing more, well, not really more, but doing more bad than good for us.
I still
in terms
think it
of
does
our,
more
the
good
effect.
For us. I mean, I think Gareth probably be inclined to agree. Like it's our only hope. It's what drives society forward.
If you want to talk about how we are going to save this planet and what we're going to put into action to make
scientists
things better,
prayer of course is going to be the main
thoughts and prayers.
Thought is less powerful than prayers. I mean, scientifically, prayers are for every three prayers, for every three thoughts, you get like the power of
Look
maybe
at that
one
ratio.
Prayer. But I mean, ideally, you send both. But prayer is going to fix the climate.
In seriousness, the technology that we are working on at the moment, I mean, they're going to develop some machine that pulls carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere.
Yeah, some algae that digests plastic and there'll sucks be, there'll in
be
carbon
some,
dioxide.
There'll be something that floats over the in the atmosphere of the Earth, over the land, and just sucks up huge amounts of excess carbon dioxide and gets the amount just right.
Well, it keeps adding density and density and density.
A little bit of greenhouse effect, but not enough to start making the Earth too hot.
Do you think we'd see something like that in our lifetime?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Well, it depends how. Really? Unless I get hit by a truck when I leave here or have a massive heart attack in studio, which would be a dramatic but awkward way to go.
And amazing content, though.
Be good for ratings. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But yes, 5 to 10 years, I reckon.
You reckon? Well,
listen,
guys, can I just
remind you, and this is a shocking realization I had yesterday, and Ben gets irritated when we talk about this stuff because to him it's obvious. But I suddenly shat myself. I thought yesterday, 6 months.
Ben gets irritated when you talk about shitting yourself.
No. When I talk about the calendar, I said to him, 6 months, and it's 2020.
Yeah.
You know,
I can see that clearly.
When you were a kid, no, but understand this. When you were a kid, 2020 felt like it was well into the future. Do you know when 2001 A Space Odyssey was made by Kubrick, who's a terrible director.
Yeah,
I'm glad
such a fucking long movie. I still haven't seen that. It's still playing at my house. It has been since it came out.
I hate that movie, but when he brought that out, it was revolutionary because 2001 was years in the...
Yeah, inconceivable. 2017 was Back to the Future. That was the future they went to.
That's right, and that was already two years ago.
And we don't have hoverboards, and we only have shoes that self-lace like very recently.
I'm annoyed that I'm happy we're there, but I'm annoyed that we're not as far along.
Yeah, no.
By 2020.
But what I was saying is like it is a dream for my own life. There's a couple of things I'd like to see. I'd like to see the world running very predominantly on proper renewable energy, like in my lifetime, where kids don't know about coal plants and they like. Fascinated to hear how we used to make electricity, and maybe there's like there's two or three countries that's still defiantly running coal plants, but now they don't have coal supply.
Well, did you hear what happened in Germany? I mean, this is something interesting that came up.
A few things have happened.
The other day on the show, I think it was Canton who said to us, what happened in Germany is that they decided they were going to go clear out all their nuclear. So they shut down all their nuclear power plants, and they couldn't make enough with wind and solar.
Yeah.
Because wind and solar have a very low return. In terms
but they are improving. Yeah,
yeah,
like I know what you mean. There's a huge amount of energy lost. They're not very energy efficient.
100,000 windmills.
There's
to
been
make.
A massive increase in the efficiency.
Gord, let me finish
tiles.
The thought. Gord, 100,000 windmills to make the same amount of energy as one decent nuclear reactor.
Yes. Mm.
So they've shut down a plant that took up X amount of space, made a little bit of radioactive waste, which you have to get rid of, and that's complicated. But you can't fill the whole of Hamburg with windmills.
No, you need space for the cheese and the relish.
Right, it's complicated. So they've now had to go back. What do? They've got coal power stations again in Germany. Now that's one step forward.
The Germans would be the kind of pragmatic types, but China are pretty ruthless. They decided they need like to increase their amount of renewable and decrease their amount of fossil fuels and stuff, and they just closed down a whole lot of businesses. Like, hey, you guys and your employees that have been like feeding your families through the production of oil and coal power, stop now. We've built fields, but they have made huge improvements very recently in the efficiency of solar panels,
but
they got to keep doing it to get more efficient at it.
That's the point. They have to keep doing it, and they're not. It's just not going as well as they thought it would be. And of course, you need a mix.
But there are success stories on the other side of that coin.
Nuclear is the most obvious way to make power.
I agree. I'm for nuclear. It's got to be done by countries that have got the capacity to, like, and in even like very first world countries like Japan are prone to problems with natural disasters and that kind of thing. But there's almost a level of like, there should be a very strict level of infrastructure necessary to have them because they are very dangerous, but they're the best way to make power at the moment. But I'd like to see in my lifetime, since people have stopped interrupting me while I'm making my point, is that I'd like to see the world almost entirely running on legitimately renewable power, and I'd like to see a manned mission to Mars. Whether that means the people go and come back or set up an establishment there, whatever they do, it must be a success. To Mars with people.
I agree.
I think it's possible.
I'd love to see both those things before I die.
You've got to have something off-site for us.
Yeah,
as humans.
We've got to have a backup. Yeah.
And we've got to send a lot of valuable documentation. We've got to send the internet there, basically.
Yeah, but for me, it's more about just exploration. Like, it's just it inspires such wonder in me, and like such I can't, those HD pictures that come back, those panoramics that come back from the rovers, the new rover that's just landed there. It's
Would you ever want to? You know, they're making all of these.
I wouldn't want to go because if it happened now, you'd need like elite pilot types who are in perfect physical condition can like manage the whole process, and I'm too old and fat and etc.
But if they said to you, we can take you, would you?
Well,
say,
that's it. If they wanted to do it anytime soon, I would be not like a suitable candidate. And if they wanted to do it in the future, where it's maybe easier and safer to maybe visit, I don't know. I don't sit and dream about myself on Mars. I think it would be terrifying and really hard work.
Yeah.
But it's just the idea of people walking around on another planet, surviving, doing some science, either setting up something and living there, and that works out well for them, or they come back and they tell the story. Like, it's just, it fills me with wonder. Like, the robots on Mars, and there's lots of them at the moment, and the satellites orbiting Mars, and how we're basically colonizing it with technology, fills me with wonder. But the idea of a person going there and surviving and succeeding at a mission to go there, like, it's gets amazing. Me giddy like a kid.
Yeah. Hmm. All right, here's a question from somebody. Slightly off topic, he says, I'm sure that during the app development phase of that guy who we had in yesterday, the guy called Dieter, who's developed this app all on his own, he couldn't code, and he basically taught himself how to do it. He says, has he ever used the Tor browser, and if so, what does he use it for? I have a Tor on all my computers, and people always freak out because it's the gateway to the deep web, but it's really not bad at all. I've been using Tor since my first year, 2013, and I don't feel the need to do some shady stuff. Well, isn't that true for everything? Like, when people talk about the gateway, they mean if you're weak-willed.
And you'll find a gateway even if one isn't presented to you. Like,
what?
Weed is the gateway to hard drugs. It's like, no, it's not. Being 15, having a slightly older mate and wanting to impress the hot girl over there is the gateway to hard drugs.
Exactly.
Like,
right.
Gateways to hard drugs have presented themselves to me in the form of non-weed many times. In fact, weed, if anything, is going to make you too lazy. You want to stay home and eat pies, and I'm not in for MDMA because that's hard work.
So anyway, I don't know much about Tor, and I'm not going to lie to you. I've heard these things about the dark web. I've never been tempted to try and figure out what's going on there either.
I went to it once, but I couldn't find my way around.
What did you want there? God. I walk into your puns.
And the same question finishes with this. I don't believe Apple tests every app that gets sent to them. Have you used the McDonald's app? My soul, it is the worst app in the history of apps. No, I've never used it.
I found it overly processed and short of vegetables.
And nutritional value.
Yeah, nutritional value was low.
I was surprised to hear that.
Although
yesterday.
It was deliciously Moorish as far as apps go, I won't lie.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it while I was using it, but about 15 minutes later, I kind of regretted it a bit.
Well, if it is true, though, I was surprised to discovered that yesterday, that Apple has a whole team dedicated to just simply testing apps, because that says a lot in terms of quality control and maintaining a standard for the brand. That's
well, they've also Apple have got that entire team dedicated to making sure everything they release is counterintuitive and hard to figure out without someone.
What's that division called in the company?
Yeah, the fuckery divisions, where they're like, okay, cool, we've got this button, the yes, I'd like to do the function button right here in the middle of the screen. Let's put it in three menus. It should be in special effects, like six drop-down menus for the function of this.
I swear there
are certain things, pieces of software, apps, and it's not only strictly Apple. I mean, lots of like Android and PC and whatever do it as well, but where it's like, you're also trying to make it as hard as possible to figure out how to use this program. And if someone, like, once you know, it's like exiting Melrose Arch. Once you know where the exit is, you know. But if you don't know, there's no way to find out. Someone, you either have to go until you accidentally find it, and that may take weeks. There's people, they're still lost forever. They're starved in the parking lot of Melrose Arch.
Yeah, they're basically
but
stuck in
if
limbo.
If a mate shows you or a person says, oh, it's over there, then you know. It's like, okay, cool, well, yeah, now I know. If you don't know how to use this program, you can't figure it out. And you have to have a mate who knows, or you've got to go watch shite tutorials on the internet and keep watching them in the hopes that one of them gets to your problem.
Same from a guy in India, and halfway through the video, you're just struggling to deal with the accent and you can't get the information.
Yeah, and they always have like fake names. Like, why can't you let the Oak just have his name? Why is everyone like Paul and Anne and Mary and Sue?
All right, we've got to get into some news. Here are some stories that are going on in the news. The education minister, can't believe she still has a job, Angie Motshekga, is briefing the media on developments in the education sector. Are you ready for these developments?
Oh,
she says, while an international study has highlighted a worrying picture about the state of South Africa's education sector, she says there are some positive outcomes to celebrate. She must have employed a team at the fuckery division there just to get them.
Well, we have many in South Africa. Yeah.
So she launched the Teaching and Learning International Research Study Report, which investigated the conditions of teaching and learning in schools across the country. She welcomed the findings of the survey, saying her department will study it. The report found that out of the 48 countries that took part in the survey, violence in school was most prevalent in South Africa.
South Africa.
Also acknowledged South Africa's education system has many challenges, such as discipline at schools and infrastructure problems. It confirms the things that we know are in our schools, which really reinforces the message that we have to deal with them, she said. The minister also said it wasn't all doom and gloom. It's not that everything is broken, she said.
Oh.
It wasn't all doom and gloom. There was some misery and foreboding as well.
She said there are things that are working, but she doesn't say what they are.
That's a little...
You know, here you go, Angie. You've got a moment here. You've got everyone's attention. So tell us about the good thing. She goes, there are things that are working. So it gives us confidence that some of the measures we've put in place seem to be yielding results. What things?
There are good things, like our tests are now all multiple choice, which gives every kid a 25% chance at getting each question
right. At least, yeah.
Motshekga also said her department would use the report as a peer review mechanism that would help the country benchmark itself against the best in the world.
Did she say peer review mechanism and benchmark? Because if you throw enough bullshit words, not that there's anything bullshit about actual peer review mechanisms, but if you say enough like highfalutin shit, you got what? So basically you're saying you welcome the fact that other countries have impartially rated you as bloody terrible.
That's exactly right.
Like, that's literally what that means.
You speak...
We welcome peer-reviewed...
You can interpret idiot.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
You can totally interpret bullshitting idiot.
And you need somebody of moderate intelligence to actually spin this kind of fuckery and bullshit. Like someone as moronic and inept as that actually needs a team. They need a fuckery department to be like, how can we spin this? Well, we welcome this as a peer-review mechanism. And what was the next bullshit word? There was another one.
Benchmarking.
And use this as a process for benchmarking. Like... Okay, so we've basically checked that there's a bar, and we welcome the fact that unbiased Oaks have tuned us. We're under it.
Gord, here's
thanks
a message
for that, Oaks.
Message from Frank. He says, Gord, we love having you on the show. However, please say only every second thought that comes out loud. You sometimes mess up the flow of conversation with bullshit comments. That's Frank.
Oh, thanks, Frank. I appreciate you correcting my flow.
Okay.
I hate it when my flow is not regular.
Okay, heavy G.
How do you know, Frank, that I'm not having eight thoughts and only speaking every eighth one?
Ooh.
I'm being less extra because you don't know what full gourd sounds like.
Ah.
Eskom confirmed on Tuesday a payment of 139 million rand from Zimbabwe had reflected in its account. Because remember, they owe us money.
139 million.
No, they owe us more than that, but they're at least making their installments.
They probably paid that in like 2005, and it's just taken that long to clear because somebody has to clear it with a lever at their bank.
Eskom has confirmed the payment by Zimbabwe is reflecting on its account today. Discussions will continue with the Zimbabwe Electricity Supply Authority, that's ZESA. Imagine you've got a department that is there to make sure that you supply the electricity you can't supply. This is great.
But I like the acronym ZESA.
You've got to have an acronym.
Sounds like a spice.
Eskom is a commercial operation and will be guided by the contracts we have in place with ZESA, said...
What is ZESA?
Said Eskom. ZESA is the Zimbabwean Electricity Supply Authority.
What is that cult in Dude, Where's My Car? It sounds like it.
On Friday, the outgoing CEO of Eskom, Phakamani Khadebe, said... that in a statement, no payment towards ZESA's outstanding debt had come into Eskom's account yet. So they finally paid. But that's not going to be enough to save Eskom.
But they've just sent the POP. It hasn't actually reflected in the account yet.
I don't know who to believe in this, but I somehow don't think ZESA are all that trustworthy. Or Eskom.
In my imagination, I just visualize this massive, like 24-wheeler flatbed truck, one of those massive ones that you can't overtake on the N1, with a ginormous Duracell battery on the back of it. And it's chilling there at like Bight Bridge, and they haven't yet given the order to drop off the next bit of electricity that we're sending there. And it's like, as soon as the money reflects, bro.
One of those Duracell copper top batteries.
Yeah, but a huge one that fills up the back of a truck. We're selling them electricity.
Here's something interesting. The IFP, of all people, on Tuesday called upon the KZN Legislature's Conservation and Environmental Affairs Portfolio Committee to investigate allegations that horses that run in the 2019 Durban July were subjected to unethical training methods, illegal stimulants, and horrific injuries and deaths.
That's true, though. Horse racing is brutal on horses.
So what do we think of this?
It's inhumane to me.
Person to speak out about this, the
so
IFP.
The spokesperson on conservation and environmental affairs, a guy called Joshua Mazibuko, said the party is going to put forward a motion to the provincial legislature to ban, first of all, animal trading, because he says behind the glitz and the glamour lies a very dark side to horse racing.
Dude, I've heard such stories. And I always wonder whether it's like my friends that share this kind of crap who I mostly try to unfollow. And by that I mean just like negative stories in general. You know, yeah, look at this outrageous thing. Someone quickly, other than me, come do something about it. I try not to expose myself to that sort of stuff. But I see some content around horse racing and how hectic it is. And I haven't looked into it too deeply. But if the alarmist stuff is to be believed, even with a grain of salt, like these horses die all the time. They break their limbs and they're lame and they have to be put down and they run them nearly to death. And a lot of them have heart attacks and they inject them full of all kinds of drugs and medication. If Spain and Mexico can both outlaw bullfighting on the grounds that it's inhumane, when it was so entrenched in their culture and
Absolutely.
People loved it so much, to say, oh, well, it generates a lot of money and it's really entertaining for people with bad hats a couple of times of the year and it makes a few extra millions for millionaires who want to collect horses. It's like, so what? Yep. You know? Apparently beating the shit out of unarmed, outnumbered midgets is great fun as well, but we don't do it because it's wrong.
No, you're right. And I'm pleased you brought up the Spain and Portugal bullfighting thing.
Mexico as well, yeah.
Because they have actually outlawed that practice.
Entirely.
Which is so good because I've seen such a horrific, you know, posts and articles and updates, and it just upsets me. I mean, like, I don't see why these poor bulls have to be subjected to this nastiness.
Yeah.
It's just nastiness. It's just 100% cruelty. There's no other way to put it. And if that's your culture, you know what your culture has to change.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the Spanish have eventually come around to because of huge pressure from the rest of the world.
During that year that I was doing the ill-fated, while I was like draining my soul out of my body like an oil sump, doing that ill-fated long-distance thing to Spain.
Yes.
One of the places that I predominantly stayed on a couple of those trips, well, two of the three of them, was next to an old bullfighting arena. And it's like a really beautiful, if slightly kitschy, building that's got a lot of history and whatever. And then like they had like a local flea market / fate thing there. They use it for other shit.
Yeah.
Like when I went to Mexico, I went to the Plaza del Toro, which is one of the biggest and most famous bullfighting arenas in the world. And they do like FMX, you know, the motorbike oaks that do somersaults on their motorbikes. Do that
right.
there.
There's a way to make these places useful.
Just stop doing it. It's shit. Stop racing horses. Who cares which horse is fastest? Why, they don't race cheetahs to try to find out which cheetah is the fastest cheetah.
Not even half. 3/4 of the people who go to the Durban July don't even know what race is on.
Yeah, it's a jewel.
No,
it's a hat
the party,
jewel.
The fashion.
Otherwise, they'd be at Turfontaine every weekend, and they're not.
And the rest of the time, I mean, I don't personally, I'm using this as a sample of one based on my own anecdotal experience. Maybe there are oaks out there who don't have interest in horse riding, but most of their friends do. No one gives a shit or knows, oh my God, like Raging Honeycup. Oh, I can't believe it. One of the best ever. Oh no, well, there's Daffodil from 40 years ago, but those was different. We didn't have the same. No one's into it. You got gamblers and lank wealthy people who it's a hobby for.
Yeah.
To own horses, breed horses, sell horses.
It gives them social cachet.
So it's two sides of the economic scale that it lives on, like gluttonous, unnecessary indulgence and a bit of preying on desperation. Most people who gamble constantly don't do it for fun.
Yeah. I'm inclined to agree with that. Here's something else in the news. Apparently, convicted fraudster and former top education official, you see, this goes back to the first story this morning, Portia Cesani will learn her fate in the Port Elizabeth Commercial Crimes Court on Monday. What is she guilty of? She's guilty of defrauding the Eastern Cape Education Department in a 1.2 million rand scam related to posts for grade R teachers. In his judgment, the Commercial Crimes Court magistrate, Mputu Mimpofu, said that Cesani had used people who were desperate for jobs and lured them into her scam by promising them employment. He found her guilty on 15 counts of fraud and 9 counts of money laundering. Damn. She was busy.
Yeah. And this is what they catch you on.
Exactly. Cesani said, was acquitted on 6 counts of money laundering and another count of fraud. So the most of them she got nailed on, and then a few of them she got off on. She's the wife of the former ANC chief whip in parliament, Stone Cesani, currently lives in Germany, where her husband is serving as ambassador. Now, this is amazing. Like, her husband's been rewarded for being chief whip, so he's in Germany as our ambassador. Again, I'd like to know, just like I asked with Zinzi Mandela the other day. She's in Denmark. Can mm-hmm. she speak Danish? Because it's kind of important for our ambassador to speak Danish. I'd like to know if Stone Cesani and his wife, Portia Cesani, who's now a convicted fraudster,
on, what did you German. Say? 9 counts.
Yes, I'd like to know if they can speak German. And if they can't speak German, I think you kind of fail as the person to go and be our ambassador.
Yeah,
that's like at least the third thing to look
at. You know, if I go to a meeting with King Goodwill Zwelithini every week because it's my job to be the interlocutor between our government and King Goodwill Zwelithini, I better damn well speak some Zulu, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that there are some tiny, like, random-ass, like, countries, like, where no one, like, there's no one in South Africa that's fluent in Yugopotamian, so we need to, like, they go there and learn on the job.
No, sure.
But in theory, you should know, have, a working but understanding of that country's language.
Technically, we shouldn't have an ambassador in Yugopotamia. I hear you. And there is no, don't go looking this place up, by the way.
It's from a cartoon from my youth, but yeah.
So, I do think that we need to look at, because what they've done with ambassadors is they just create these posts as a way to reward people who've done something in government. Now, I don't think that's a good enough reason. These people actually have an important job to do. I know a lot of the diplomats in South Africa from other countries. They do important work.
Yeah, yeah. You had the Israeli ambassador on the show once a while ago, and I just remember like how much cool shit they were up to.
You had to gather information. You had to make trade deals. You had to look after the relationship between the countries. You're here to advise your own government back home. You know, there's stuff you
make sure
do.
That people from your country here are safe and okay and can get out if the shit hits the fan.
Correct. So I don't think this is some... The ANC typically don't give this a cursory glance.
Ambassading's a real job. Yeah. It's almost like seen in South African government as like an earned paid long-term holiday with occasional meetings.
I always thought it was fabulous. I didn't really know what went into it, but I thought it was just fabulous. You go to another country, you shake a lot of hands, you host a lot of parties. Yeah, and then...
Well, you would...
Nothing about the work.
Actually,
I'm happy with that as a job.
You have a skill set, Sia, for example, that actually could be really good as an ambassador.
Gareth, could you put that on a letterhead?
Yeah, I'll put it in a CV.
You could ambassador.
And send it to the people in Bora Bora.
Don't you think he could...
Where would you want to ambassador to?
In Bora Bora.
Really?
I'll greet some diplomats in a mankini. Sure. I'll just make sure I shave every week.
No, but really, Bora Bora. What's so great about Bora Bora?
No, it must be somewhere exotic. If you do something like that, I think it would be about getting out of your comfort zone.
I prefer their neighboring rival state, Exciter Exciter, where things are way more interesting.
That's actually really good.
See myself out.
I really see it.
That dude that sent the constructive criticism message is right. Please. I apologize, George. You're fucking right. I'm going
I like Exciter Exciter.
I'm extra this morning.
Remind me to send a group email to all the comedians in the whole of South Africa who need Sia at their show. Oh, that's actually quite good. And ruin their joke.
We interrupt this joke to bring you our preliminary findings.
I'll sit in the front row. The punchline is funny because, you know, it's just not possible.
And if
that's what's funny.
And if Sia, oh, really? Now you're explaining why it's funny.
Yes.
No, he's explaining why.
All right. You know what? I've changed my mind about you being an ambassador.
We don't need a joke analyst on the show anymore, Gareth.
I know. We've got one. He's been here the whole time. We didn't know. It's a secret. That's your superpower, Sia.
Thank you.
You know, Superman has the strength. You know, Spider-Man has the webs and the being able to swing from building to building. You've got
a great way
analyst.
Of deconstructing a joke. We were actually having such a fat laugh recently about like the most useless fucking superpowers. You can have superpowers that are totally unhelpful. And the ones that had me crying with laughter was being seventh bulletproof. And the other one was being able to fly when you're in a plane.
Seventh bulletproof.
Yeah, it's just bouncing right off you. You don't feel a fucking thing.
Only the
seventh one. And you can fly when you're in aeroplanes.
Okay. All right, last
in flight,
thing.
Flight.
The last thing in the news this morning, Facebook apparently received an all clear on Tuesday. There was a fear that a package at its mail facility contained the nerve agent sarin.
Holy shit.
Yeah, four of the social media company's buildings were evacuated on Monday. Two people were checked for possible exposure to the compound. Turns out there was no toxic material. Everybody was panicking. There's no sarin. And the package had erroneously tested positive on Monday morning. But they later tested it again, found there was nothing. So, big deal.
Yeah.
In any case, all you have to do to...
A mistake was made at Facebook this week.
No. Well, when isn't there a mistake made at Facebook is my question. So, there we go. And by the way, Gord's been really busy on Facebook. How's Butfighter coming along?
Yeah, man. Butfighter is coming along such a jewel. We have made a point, despite the fact that we started the social media quite a long time ago, we literally launched it early by mistake and decided it just got so much momentum on its own that we would just, like, instead of taking the page down after accidentally launching it, we would just leave it up. And we've done a lot of social media content and built a bit of a community, and there's been a lot of buzz in the video game, but we've made a point in the slightly over a year that we've been doing this project of not leaking too much, not talking. So a lot of people are like, they've caught a glimpse of it and they're like, oh, that's funny, I've seen it, I kind of know the joke. There's a boyki and you're in a bar and you're fighting other boots and there's like a bit of boot humor and you moor some oaks and you get to the end of the bar and it's done. Now we've got like this epic story and the characters, there's two of them, they're like fully upgradable, they've got special moves, combo attacks, like you need to actually play the game. And it takes place over five full stages and three mini stages. We've got like really funny cinematics, some celebrity guest appearances. So it's been very difficult to like actually keep to this code of silence.
I love the things you Billy the Boots and
William
Carnageville City,
Ellis Park, H2000. I can't give too much away about where the jewels all take place. But we've made a point, it's been really difficult of like keeping a lot of the jokes and the humor and the cool shit that's in there, people have absolutely no idea. Like, yeah, people know it's a fighting game, there's butt humor, and it's like quite a proudly South African thing. But my buddy Louis, whose idea it was to get the group together and make the game, he has made a game before where scope creep caused the project to keep getting bigger and bigger and more ambitious until eventually it was like out of control, it was unfinishable, and it caused strained a friendship and cost him a lot of time and money over a few years trying to make this massive epic game. So he decided, like, this is going to be a simple, we're going to scope it, we're going to make it that big, it's going to take a year. So our goal was to finish it in a year, and we got it about 95% finished in a year. But finishing a game and launching a game are not exactly the same. Once it's finished, you've got to get like nerds to play the shit out of it, beta testing to find problems with it and glitches so you can fix those, and then getting it on the PlayStation Network, getting it on the Xbox Network, app stores, that kind of thing. Each one of those is an application process. So we've more or less just slightly overshot our goal of finishing the game in a year. It's damn near finished, but it's going to take us a couple of months to get it into people's hands.
Sounds good. Keep us informed. This is, I think it'll be terrific.
Seen some of the stuff. I've shown you on my phone, you know, yeah. Some of the stuff that's still amazing. People haven't seen, and you're enjoying it so far.
I am. I'm laughing like a drain. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's fine.
You're laughing like a what?
A drain.
But for those of you who don't know.
Never heard that before?
Check out Butfighter. I thought you coughed like a drain, not laugh like a drain. Like my Muttley laugh. That's drain-like.
Your Muttley laugh is hilarious.
But for those people who don't know, check out Butfighter on Facebook. I mean, there's only one. You can't miss it.
There's Gord doing his thing. Okay, it is now just before 7. We've got to get to Sid by Sia. I know, it's crazy. This morning is running away with us. All right, Sid by Sia, do you want to do this?
Yeah,
you want your music?
Yes, please.
All right, take it away.
Do you want to hear some good news happening in Durban, actually? Firstly, it's out of quite a dire situation. Did you hear about the fire that took place in Durban yesterday?
No. What
at a hospital, fire? An Addington hospital. It was, the fire erupted just after 8 a.m. But the good news in this situation is kudos to the staff members, the doctors there, and also the security officers of Durban's Addington Hospital, who stayed with the fire and emergencies department to ensure that all of the patients in the hospital were safely evacuated, and they did. So it's incredible to hear that out of this fire, 84 patients, including 25 babies, were safely evacuated after the fire erupted, and that's really amazing. So hospital management said that the fire broke out in the fire escape area, how ironic, on the 7th floor just after 8 a.m. yesterday, and nurses immediately alerted security personnel, and while they were waiting for the fire and emergencies department to arrive, they instantly thought of the patients, and they all started making their way to the patients and ensuring that they were able to leave the building properly.
No one got seriously injured.
No one was injured at all, and this is just incredible. No fewer than 25 mothers and their newborn babies, 9 children in the children's ward, and 20 patients who needed gynecological services had to be evacuated due to the very strong smoke. And there were no injuries during the incident, and currently as it stands...
So they were evacuated from the gynae department because of strong smoke. Did they breathe through?
Did they have... was there strong smoke from the vaginal department before or after the fire?
Some very rough sex that led to smoking vagina.
I need a gynecologist to have a smoking vagina, and then like, oh, we can't. Unfortunately, there's a fire evacuation.
Not doing
this.
In the
other wing, there's a fire.
I am not doing this at all.
I don't want to interrupt badly, but slightly.
Go ahead.
There's Google videos of like reverse firefighters, reverse fire rescue. There's videos where there's a burning building, and in the original video, obviously the firefighters are pulling kids out one at a time and like passing them down from person to person. But if you play it backwards,
it looks
like
twisted.
A team of people carrying children and throwing them into a fire. It's extremely funny.
I feel bad for enjoying videos like that, but it really is fun.
Well, I mean, you know, no kids are really being fucking hilarious. Chucked
no
into
one was
a
harmed
fire.
In the making of this video.
It looks as if like 5 dudes are just passing the children up the ladder, and while the last oak's just tossing them into the flaming building. Sorry, back to you, Sia.
No, well, I still can't comment on what happened with the gynecological services there. But yeah, as it stands, the cause of the fire is unknown and will be determined by the Etoguni Fire and Emergencies Department. And in a statement, of course, the Department of Health jumped onto this, and they said, "We'd like to thank our security personnel, hospital staff and management, as well as Etoguni Fire and Emergency Services for the manner in which they responded to this emergency."
Right.
I think it's very, very awesome that all of these people could have run and saved themselves, but they really care so much about their patients that they said, "No, we'll actually help," even though they aren't the most qualified in this circumstance, but they said, "We need to know and we need to make sure that everyone is safe." And they did. So kudos to the staff at Addington Hospital for ensuring that 84 patients all safely made it out of the burning building. That's it said by CFO this morning.
Excellent.
Still can't comment on the gynecological department.
I can comment on this though. If you can't believe, like I can't believe, that we're into the second half of the year, with a new month comes some new specials from SkinSense.
Oh yes.
You can get a Christmas in July package, which includes a cleanse facial, a hot stone, paraffin manicure, and 2 course lunch. How do you like that?
That's too coarse for me, those lunches.
Was 1,001... I'm reading like Jacob Zuma. Was 1,945 rand. It's now only 1,330 rand. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, that
that's
sounds
a nice
like
savings.
A jewel. I could do with that.
So here's the July Express package, which includes a back, neck, and shoulder massage, a wash and blow, plus a Christmas spiced sour cherry tart, and beverage of your choice. It was 720 rand. Now it's only 535 rand.
It's not a bad, that's a good deal, dude. Like, it's a really good gift to give somebody, is like a voucher for a package at something like that.
It's amazing.
Because some people are not always inclined to spoil themselves when maybe they need it.
Absolutely.
So giving that as a gift, they have to go and do it now because you've given them the thing. Like, that's a go-to for me. get people something like that. So
it's a terrific,
it's a
gift.
Really nice thing to do for someone because they don't have a choice but to go and enjoy themselves.
And you're right. Some people don't know how to spoil themselves. T's and C's apply. All of these are available on cliffcentral.com. You can find out more by going to our site and we'll lead you straight to Skin Sense Day Spa in Rivonia, Johannesburg. They host a comprehensive range of expert beauty treatments for men and women. I had a massage there a couple of weeks ago, and it's just the best way to relax.
I've actually literally been there before as well, and it's just such a beautiful venue as well. Such a lovely facility.
You've literally been there.
No, I have. I've gone there for a work meeting thing that involved massages and stuff.
I got more feedback for you.
But, oh, God, I'm excited.
So, Gord, this is from Carl. Carl says, since your trip to High Rob, you were using the word extra, but you're using it in totally the wrong way. You are too old for it. You must stop.
No. Oh, so this is the social police decreeing how and when hip young people terms can be used.
Literally.
Okay. You're on that committee this year. Won't you argue my case for me when the What's Allowed Coolness Illuminati get together and have their
next
meeting?
My tenure as the chairperson has wrapped up.
Because you're too old.
Yeah. I'll give a word. Yeah.
You're too young to use words like tenure.
Ah,
yes, yeah. That's true. All right, we got a bunch of really funny things. Boris Johnson and Donald Trump are having an extremely funny week this week, so I'm looking forward to playing you some clips from them. We've got a bunch of news stories to get to, so it's going to be great.
It's going to be tremendous. It's going to be the greatest. The greatest is coming up next. It's fantastic. The most amazing, most incredible. Have I shown you my daughter? She's beautiful. She's the most beautiful.
All right, but in the meantime, I want to play you that song by Sia, the full one, so you can take a listen to it. It's gorgeous. All right, here it is for your edification. Take it away, Sia, anytime.
This is CliffCentral.com.